I think podcasts are the future, and none more so than the What Would Brian Bevan Say podcast. And I have to say that that young lad, Dennis, and his tackle bags is almost as good as it's a knockout.
Yes, welcome back to What Would Sid Waddell Say? I'm Rob Doodlebug London, and with Wire about to host their first home game at the Luke the Nuke Littler Stadium, where are my two high cholesterol, bordering on the edge of type 2 diabetes, podcasters? Firstly, he could drink Jockey Wilson under the ockey and has a mathematical ability to even find a three-dart checkout from 169. It's Sam Statistical Sankey.
Hello.
And a man so stylish that his flights are still made from ostrich feathers, complete with his tackle bag yips. It's Dennis Double Top Waywell.
All right.
Now we've just sort of gone through all our medical ailments in the green room, boys. But apart from that, how are we all? Are we all good?
Father time is ticking on, isn't it?
Oh, God.
Did you get hypothermia, Sam, following your trip to Yorkshire? Because it said on my phone, I think, 4 degrees, but feels like minus two.
Oh, it was bloody cold. It was an icy wind.
You sent a picture of what I can only describe as a heart attack burger. It was, I mean, what is your cholesterol reading at, eating that?
That was the nicest burger I've had in a while, that.
Let's just tell the listener. Just tell the listener that he sent a picture of a burger. Was it bacon and burger, was it, basically?
Burger, bacon, brie, caramelised onions, tomato and lettuce.
That greasy, that the shine off the burger, you could see your reflection taking the photograph.
Yeah.
It wasn't greasy at all. Very nice. In a brioche bun, just for extra. Mm.
Brioche buns have arrived in Huddersfield. My goodness. What next?
Mm. I've noticed that you've made some dart references tonight. So are we having a quiz? Because I have got some dart facts, done some extensive research.
Oh, well, we'll look forward to that. Is that a quiz or is that just some dart facts?
Well, it's just some dart facts.
Dark facts, but you're saying dart facts.
I'm saying dart.
Dart.
Yes,
oh, sorry, dart. I said dart facts then. That was a slip. Dart facts.
Luke the Nuke was at Huddersfield, you know. There was a little chant went up and he was having they were having a little dance around him up under the scoreboard.
Everywhere. You send me those videos, Sam, and all I can think of is the quicker they bring back national service, the better. Every time I see those.
I know. I knew I'd be getting on your nerves this week. Every time I saw something, I thought, that'll wind him up. I've just been sending you.
The only thing is, Dennis, he seems to be on some kind of 48-hour social media time lag. You know, you see something on Tuesday, and then by Thursday, Sankey sends it through, and you're like, here it comes.
So, straight into the darts quiz. It's a quiz now. It's basically three or four facts. What year was the modern-day darts invented with the modern-day dartboard?
1936.
Ooh. Higher or lower? Higher or lower, Mr. London?
I'll go 1934.
No, 1896, the year after the Rugby League.
I just won because I went lower.
You were miles off. You're not even having a point for that. Brian Gamblin is the guy there. So there's hockey distance. This should be burnt into your eyeballs, or your ears, or your head. The distance from the board to the end of the hockey.
I would say about 20 kebabs.
And how long is a kebab?
7'2". 7'2".
7'8".
Ooh, Mr. London's back here. 7'9¼".
Thank you.
And about the height, Sam, you got anything on the height of the board? Which is a measure to the bullseye.
Hang on, the bullseye, 5'6".
Okay. Mr. London?
I'm very partial to a woman at about 5'3½". That was always my go-to, wasn't it? Oh, dark brown eyes. Dark brown eyes, dark hair.
Think about your own height.
6'4.5"
Absolutely nowhere near 5'8" Yeah. So that's that out. And finally, this is a guess for what the board is actually made from. What material is used for the dartboard?
It used to be horsehair, didn't it?
Ooh. Have you got anything, Mr. London?
No.
Is it snatch?
What? I'm not familiar with what snatch
thatch.
Is. Or are you still
thatch.
Talking about
thatch?
No.
Is it thatch?
Oh. No. No. It's actually the agave sisala plant.
It's probably
used to make
endangered
tequila.
Now. Probably shouldn't be using that anymore. Isn't it cork?
Apparently.
Can't use cork?
No, they used to use...
Mine from Argos catalogue was cork, because you had to absolutely fucking hurl the fucker to make it stick into the board.
Well, they changed it because it kept getting wet with beer and slops and stuff back in the day. So there you go. That's the end of the quiz. I could safely say that Mr. Sankey has won the darts quiz. So you've got a chance to play for Bully's special round a bit later on.
I've just checked how many kebabs it is. Kebabs vary in size, but it's saying 9.2 kebabs in length. I don't think that's right. Enough.
Well, you've not told us how long it is, though.
That's like a 10-inch kebab, that, isn't it?
It says...
That's what she says.
should we crack on, lads? Should we crack on?
Yeah, I think so.
Should we crack on? Excellent.
Is it? Okay. Can I just ask, we go through today's recording, is there going to be any more references at all to Luke Little whatsoever?
No, of course
not. Didn't think
Why
so.
How would we do that? We're not jumping on the back of Fitzpatrick's coattails, are we? No, it'd be nothing. Nothing at all. Let's carry it. Okay, a bit of a prologue to start with, looking at the reviews. A crowd just shy of 7,000 at the HJ for Toby King's testimonial saw Wire lose 12-20 to Lee. Warrington would then kick off their 2025 season with a Challenge Cup tie away at Whitehaven. Several first-teamers had the day off, plus Sam Powell and Lachlan Fitzgibbon were still recovering from shoulder surgery. Toby King was also absent with a reoccurring groin strain, and in the end, Wire ran out winners in Cumbria to a scoreline of Whitehaven 4, Warrington 44.
I just pick you up on that. You did say groin strain or stain, I think. Might have to just get back in. Yes.
Jesus.
I want to check that.
There were two tries for Walker Leyland, Jake Thulis and Taylor Ray. Conversions, Josh Thulis and Ratchford both kicked 3 goals apiece. Sam Burgess said, of the win, I think everyone was good today. No one really stood out, but no one stood out in a negative light either. I've got a lot of trust in all the guys, so next week I have a couple of tough decisions to make. Everyone is pretty much healthy and everyone is desperate to play. Okay, it was over to round one of Super League and Uddersfield away. The team was Dufty, Thulis, Lindop and King in the centres, Ashton on the other wing, Williams and Ratchford, surprisingly, in the halves. The forward pack was Vaughan, Walker, Yates continued in the front row, Holroyd and Russell took up their places in the second row, and Curry at lock. Interchange bench was Powell, Crowther, Musgrove and Philbin. So, as Warrington made their way across the Pennines without their new halfback, a Wire werewolf from London, would they take heed and stay up roared and keep clear of the moors? Here's the highlights.
Was the man tackled. Now Wolford, now Lollaher, Tui Lollaher has got the opening try of the Super League season at the John Smiths. Dufty, this could be a penalty, I think.
Yeah,
the arm is out from the referee. That's Lindop. Lindop striding away. Will he go himself? Is he there? He's over the line. Aaron Lindop.
Rashford. Duffy's got Ashton into space, and Ashton will say, "I'll take four." A Warrington lead. Rashford finds Duffy, and it's in for Toby King. It coasts in, and Warrington get their third try. That must be very close. Wolford appeals for the try. Duffy, the Grover through. Can he get there? Matt Duffy! What a try that is!
Final score, Huddersfield 12, Wyre 20. Tries for Lindop, Ashton, King, Duffy. Goals, Rashford didn't have his kicking boots on, he only kicked one from three. Foolish took over, kicked one from one. Referee was Tom Grant. And the attendance, quite a healthy attendance in Huddersfield, 5,873. Now, we probably should start with the sort of surprise to many of the team, Sam. Ollie Leyland not picked. He went with Rashford. I can only believe he went on defence, did he? He thought, first game of the season, we need to sort of just defend a little bit better at places like Huddersfield. Don't want it to get away from us, so I'll put Rashford in rather than Leyland. That's all I could see it was down to.
It felt a very conservative decision. And I was a little disappointed. We know I am a big, big Rashford fan. Always have been.
Was that in 1986?
Correct. But I was disappointed that we didn't see Leyland. At the end of the day...
Orange alert.
Caveat detected.
Orange alert. Orange alert.
Sam Burgess knows his team. Sam Burgess got a lot of credit in the bank for how he performed last year. So I will clearly defer judgment to the man who knows more than I do. But I was a bit disappointed. I felt it was a conservative pick.
I mean, he must be chewing at the bit to play. He's played well in the two games leading into this, hasn't he?
Yes,
he's been a standout player almost. But, I mean, I was worried about his defence. When we saw him play against Warrington last year, he was poor defending until he went off. So, I mean, he did come out in the interview after and said he's long-term scrum half. He sees as Leon Hayes.
Yes.
Which also must be a little bit pissing Leyland off. But I presume he's just trying to gnarl him a bit, is he? And get him ready for Vegas, maybe.
It could be a little bit psychological because exactly that. If your number seven's injured, you've just signed as the standout player from London, so you think, maybe I'm in line to play here, and he chooses the utility guy ahead of you. So interesting. We'll see what happens this week.
Did he do much right, Rashford? Did he do much wrong? Just an average performance, wasn't it? He had his little headless chicken moments. But I don't know. I would have liked to have seen Leyland out there.
This sounds like December 1982 when British Leyland decided not to release the ECV3 concept car.
What car?
The ECV3 concept car.
Oh, concept. Sorry. I don't know what you said.
Yeah. What did you think I said? Oh, fucking hell. Jesus Christ. Anyway, it only had three cylinders, 72 brake horsepower.
Did they ever release
it? No. The outer shell was made by Alcan.
British Alcan. Yeah. Wasn't that in Latchford, British Alcan?
Yeah, it was. At Thelwall.
Is it still there, or is it gone?
It is, yeah.
Is it? Alcan's still
just,
there.
Yeah. Just on the other side of the locks. It's a big recycling plant.
Next thing. Yeah. God, this is
Alzheimer's
amazing,
been,
isn't it?
Alzheimer's been related to aluminium.
Has it?
I used to work there. Yeah. Can't remember.
Dennis, our favourite, Roderick Ty, not picked in the centres. Looks like he's gone. I mean, King possibly had a groin stain, but he still picked him. Mm. I mean, Sam's happy. Look, he's smirking away. Look, he can hardly hold that smirking.
I have to think about. I had a question. Do the friendlies make a difference? I mean, does it help with that selection? I mean, how much importance would you two place on a friendly?
In past years, probably not a lot, but this year, whether by luck or judgment, we played Lee in the testimonial, which probably just have run out and shake the cobwebs off. But then we have a competitive game at Whitehaven in the cup that means something, but a game we should win. So I think that does give a good warm up for all the players to get a run out.
Mm. So do you think he saw something that he didn't like with Ty and thought, oh, you know what, I'm going to leave you out?
Well, again, similar to making a couple of comments about Leyland, he said that Roderick had a couple of things he needs to tidy up.
Was that down in London? Wasn't he down in London seeing the sights?
I think he was.
According to his Instagram.
Whether he's talking about something particular in his defence or something particular in his attacking structure.
When he arrived, I think he had one game where maybe he jumped out the line or something. And this urban myth about Roderick Ty's defence has stuck. Yeah, he's the best tackler in the Super League by a country mile. Mm. He wallops more people than anyone. I never get this defence bollocks that people go on about.
I think it was the first 2 or 3 weeks he was jumping out a bit.
2 or 3? Look, he's 3 weeks. Wow. You know, a lot of people are saying that it's time that King moved into the second row. What about Roderick Ty in the second row? Hey, wouldn't want him in the middle of the pitch knocking hell out of people, would you? And he's big, strong. Just putting it out there.
No, Sam's not having that.
Not happy with that? No. Oh, he hates Roderick Ty. Hates him.
No, I don't. Bugger off. Although I have just had a message up on my screen saying my internet is unstable. So anytime now I'll probably black out.
Excellent. Okay, first 20 minutes sees no score from either side. That was about it, wasn't it, really?
Yeah, you two watching on TV and got the side on view. We were behind the sticks, obviously.
Oh, that's right. You were there, weren't you, Sam? You were there.
Yeah. I don't know whether you got a feeling who was winning territory of anybody, or was it just to me?
I didn't wake up. I didn't wake up until 30 minutes in. So it's funny, though. I woke up at 2:15. So you kicked off at 3 over there. So I was 15 minutes behind. Then I went to the loo. Then I got back into bed and had to put it on. So I reckon I'm about 18, 19 minutes behind. And by half time, I'm watching it on catch up. I just fast forwarded through half time and I was perfectly in line for the second half. So you faffed around in that first half with captain's challenge and whatever else for about 18 minutes.
Mm.
How was the commentary? Because I had the sound off, but the Watt Bevan group didn't seem that happy about the commentary. Said it was a bit depressing.
Weren't you listening to it?
No, I had the sound completely down.
Oh, I see, you turned it off all the way through.
I don't have any sound at all. Yeah, I don't have any sound at all, no. Can't be bothered.
You know what? One of the matches went off over the weekend and they lost the sound first. And I turned around to Mrs. Wywell and I said, oh, God, this is much better.
Yes, it is.
You know, the commentators on. Oh, yeah. It was a delight. But I didn't really pay attention. I have started putting the sound down myself now on about 6, so I don't really.
What's your telly go up to, 100?
No, it goes up to some odd, like 62 or something.
That's interesting,
like that.
Isn't it? That's interesting. Yeah.
Maybe 60. Maybe I'm thinking Spinal Tap.
When I play snooker on the PS5, I put the volume at 6 as well, Dennis. So there you go.
Oh, yeah, that's good. Yeah. Anyway, the first 20 minutes, like all the games, I think, apart from one game, which we won't mention, all the teams are pretty much ready to go and there's nothing in it. They're all completing high and, like, you know, defences on top. So I think it was representative of the first round.
So I didn't miss much. Didn't miss much. Yeah. 25th minute, Duffy lets an up and under bounce, and in the resulting pinball-esque bounce of the ball, eventually ends up with Huddersfield retaining possession close to Wire's line. Quick hands from the Giants left to right creates room for Lower here to comfortably cruise over. Richardson converts and it's 6-0. Talk to me about Toby King and his little waltz out of the line there. Half effort, Sam. Have you watched it back? It's like he doesn't commit fully. He just like comes out as if he's in My Fair Lady. He sort of just...
I don't think he had much option there. I feel the problem was...
Orange alert.
Caviar detected.
Orange alert. Orange alert.
Prior, and it's what we've spoke about before, a hesitation. I mean, it would have been a very good catch if it had got there, but hesitation between our full-back and the winger. Thewley starts to go for it, then... Duffy is coming on to it, then Duffy stops, then Hewley stops, and we drop the ball, or rather it bounces. Mm. And I think it's that hesitation is a little bit of a weakness in our back line, to be fair.
Mm. Happened at Whitehaven as well. Mm. They scored.
Mm. Well, yeah. that's the NRL spot gone, isn't it? To the three fullbacks, all with brilliant talent, chewing in the reserve grade. That's why Duffy didn't quite ever. You know, because he shines so much, but just those little slips in NRL, you're gone. You're gone. 40th minute on the stroke of half time, Wire finds space down their right edge. Lindop weighs it up perfectly and backs himself to crash over the line. Ratchford misses the conversion from the touchline, and we go in at the break 6-4 down. The first half, we didn't seem to have much sort of cohesion in what we were trying to achieve, I thought. We went back and two a bit, but dummy runners weren't working. It was all a bit stagnant, wasn't it? And then in the end, it took a bit of broken play to find that room down their right, down their left edge.
Yeah, he took that very, very well, didn't he? Because prior to that, we'd not even look like scoring.
Yeah. I did say to Mrs. London I could have scored that, but I won't mention it on the podcast. So sorry, Aaron. Sorry, I'm not. I'll text him this week.
Yeah. I think he knows.
Mrs. London said, "It only seems like yesterday that little boy was bouncing up and down on your knee." And I thought, yeah, it's true. I can remember when I was in Aaron's house when Murray won his first Wimbledon.
Oh, yeah.
And he just wouldn't bloody leave us alone. We were trying to watch the tennis and Aaron would have been, I don't know what Aaron would have been, like 5 or 6. And I remember his stepdad saying to me, "The reason he's jumping up and down on you all the time is because you showed interest in him when you came through the door. Now he won't leave you alone." He was just completely ignoring him.
Like a puppy.
So, yeah, he's a lovely lad, Aaron. He's an absolutely lovely lad.
And now it's reversed. You're showing an interest and he doesn't want to know him.
Okay, 44th minute. Why start the second half with Ashton finding room on his left wing from a beautiful cutout pass from Duffy. He also creates an easier kick for Ratchford by making his way around closer to the sticks before touching down. Ratchford slots over the easy two, and it's 6-10. Seemed to be our go sort of to move, wasn't it? Because in the 58th minute, a much improved second half Wolves pack put them on the front foot. This leads to King scoring from a deftly thrown Duffy pass this time. Ratchford puts the kick wide, and it's 6-14. So it was pretty much mirror image of the first one, Sam. This time he didn't cut the ball out. He just threw it to King. Yeah. First one, cuts King out. Ashton's in.
And we'd gone there on a couple other occasions as well, but I felt the difference in the second half. I felt Musgrove, when he came on, added something to us for 10 minutes. Very direct, and he managed to get a couple of quick play of the balls for Walker to scoot away. We got a bit of movement going forward.
Mm. I've highlighted a few players, which I might come on to in the end, that I want to discuss, and Musgrove was one of them, so I'll definitely mention him at the end. 68th minute, just when it looks like Warrington of Huddersfield on the ropes, a poorly executed set from Wire allows the Giants to gallop downfield, and from a play of the ball, Greenwood gets the ball down, according to the video ref. Richardson easily converts again, and it's 12-14 with 12 to go. But then in the 76th minute, the ever-impressive Duffy gets his reward by dribbling the ball through and diving on the ball over the line. Thulis takes over the kicking and completes the score. Final score, Huddersfield 14, Wire 20. Mm. We kind of passed text, didn't we, Sam, I think, on WhatsApp with their Huddersfield try. We had it in the bag. Yes. They were offering nothing. And then I think it was Powell that made the mistake. I think he threw a dodgy ball and then he gave a penalty away.
As you say, Powell, and I think it was Ratchford. He threw a bad pass to Ratchford. Ratchford didn't take it. The ball then bobbles around. Huddersfield get the ball, error upon error. And we're under pressure from absolutely nowhere. We put ourselves under pressure there.
Yeah, I've got I put Ratchford, we've already talked about. So I sort of I'd highlighted him and did an okay job, didn't he? Did what he needed to do. Can always rely on him. I thought the standouts were Walker. I thought Walker played very well. I think he's a real nuisance at the play of the ball. And Orford, you've already mentioned him. Musgrove made double the amount of runs he normally makes and came on and put a bit of biff in the pack. And then Crowther worked his socks off. I thought Crowther was excellent when he came on. The one I have the question mark against, and not necessarily because he's playing poorly, I just think he's still out of position. He made very few yards, and that was Yates at prop again. Just move him to 13. I'm not sure why we keep continuing this prop for Yates, because he's picking his spot, he's getting pushed back. Just don't think that's working, Sam. It might be because we're just missing a prop.
Yes, I think that could be as big a reason as any. If Harrison comes back and plays, Harrison almost certainly starts, and then you've got your decision on whether Yates starts at 13 or starts on the bench. And whether you
what was up with Harrison?
He's just, again, he was like Leyland, just didn't quite pick him, did he? Just didn't think he was... I mean, I thought his form fell off last year. I didn't think Harrison was particularly strong in the last quarter of the season last year. So what do we make of Vaughan? Vaughan seemed to come on. He had a better second spell.
Yes, definitely in the second spell. But the whole team did. So whether it was Vaughan himself or whether the team as a unit started to gain momentum or Huddersfield dropped off because we've got superior fitness, perhaps.
Yep. Okay. Tackles, there was three above 40 tackles. Walker on 44, Curry on 41, Holroyd on 40, Russell 37, Vaughan 35. I mean, it was good tackles from everyone. Meters, Duffy 249, Ashton 123, King 112. So the backs, Thulis 93. The four top meter makers were all backs. Vaughan made 93, Crowther 86. He dropped down to the far end. Yates made the least metres out of all the forwards. He only made 28 metres. 28 metres.
Brings me on to a bit of focus on Russell. I've been looking forward to seeing him. And I thought he did really well. I thought he didn't go missing in action, put it that way. He was involved quite a lot. His tackles were up there. I know he didn't make as many metres, but he made nearly as many as Musgrove. I thought that was quite impressive. Really? That's his debut, isn't it?
You know, Sam absolutely hates Roderick Ty. I mean, we come off air, Dennis, and we get those texts from him. And it's embarrassing. I just delete them, to be honest. I'd like to join the narrative of my hatred towards Dan Russell, if that's okay.
Oh, God.
He did make 37 tackles, of which 35 of them he was fourth man in. just to let you
know. Who's going back to watch that?
Can I add something in here? Because this is my, without Fitzgibbon, this is my concern for our back row. The two second rows and the loose forward. So on Sunday we had Holroyd, Curry and Russell. Holroyd made 40 tackles, Curry 41, Russell 37. As a as a percentage success, Holroyd 91% success, Curry 97%, Russell 97% success.
Mm.
Very good effort, work rate.
Mm.
But meters going forward, not the actual meters, but the average per carry. Holroyd 6 meters per carry, Curry 5, Russell 4.
Mm.
Mm. And that's where I might just be concerned in a big game against Wigan or Hull KR, whether those three between them offer enough punch going forward.
Russell makes no meters. I've said this before. He gets driven back all the time when I watched those games last year. Hence why he didn't get the games for St George.
I don't know about that. I'm just going to go back to Sam's bit. I think there's a statistical analysis here that needs to be done. There is only ever going to be so many tackles in a half, right?
Yes.
Let's say there's 100 tackles, just for making it easier for the listener, right? So if you know you've got those players, I don't want to say that. Forget tackles, meters or whatever. But anyway, if the coach is telling certain players to take the ball.
Oh, yes.
And so on, then the bias is going to be that way because that's the way the coach wants it to happen. So how much can you genuinely read into those meters if the players have been asked to do a lot in defence?
What's he going on about? Okay. What's he going on about?
No, I think he's got a good point in there somewhere. I think he's it's first game only, isn't it? So our sample size is one. So we just have to watch how we go on. We just have to watch how we go on through the year with that.
I just point out there was 177 tackles in the first half, not 100.
Yeah, made it easier for the listener. So, look, I'm really positive. I'm really happy with what I saw. You two are really down as usual.
You've got aluminium poisoning, though, haven't you?
That's nothing to do with it. Do you think the evidence of having a small pack has been seen so far?
Huddersfield physically were a big team in terms of Greenwood and Burgess and who was the other guy? English. So
no,
they were physically big. They were, physically big. So I was not unhappy at all with Sunday. Sunday I was pretty pleased about. But last year, we did worry that we didn't have an individual who was going to skittle players going forward. And I think this year, we've still not got a player who will skittle potential tacklers going forward.
Mm-hmm. Somerset game, skittles.
It's all
Rob,
very
do
well.
Do you think? Come on.
Oh, all very well having a mini pack and saying that it's more mobile, etc. It's not mobile in the middle of October when it's pissing me rain at Old Trafford. And that's what it comes down
dry.
To every year. The water at the pitch at half time, they're putting the sprinklers on. You need a big pack to win the Super League Grand Final. And they'll be found out. The pack's not big enough.
Will be times in the season where they're going to get fatigued for all the work they're doing. And I think we might get caught out in a couple of games. But, we'll see.
I mean, you can't. Their effort was outstanding. I mean, rugby league is just, it's barbaric. I've said it before, but you look at the intensity of rugby league now and, you need a bigger squad because there's no way you're going to get through the season without big injuries when they're all knocking hell out of each other like that. And, you're going to be jaded, aren't you? And a prop that's weighing a stone and a half more than you is going to get on top of you as the season wears on.
I think the other point to look at as well going forward is we've said it a lot of times over the past God knows how many years, but the way that the halfbacks get a chance to play behind some big forwards and that skittle effect, there's a skittle effect. We'll soon see when we play in the good teams whether they get closed down quickly because the forwards are just not making an impact. So I think that's where we're likely to see it.
Where we do have an advantage, though, Dennis, and where maybe this was seen last year, was we have got some speed. We have got some speed out with Ashton, some great speed off the mark with Dufty. Williams is no slouch. Thewlis is no slouch. And when we move the ball well, like we did in the second half, we get around teams. We've got the pace to get around teams. And that's what And you can't necessarily have both, can you? If you're a stone and a half, two stone heavier, you're likely to be slower and more ponderous, but maybe more devastating in a straight line. It's a balance, isn't it? One thing I would like to just pick up again, we've mentioned Duffy's slight weakness, an aerial ball where this...
Roderick King didn't play. Is this, are you going to criticise Roderick King again?
Bugger off.
Oh, sorry.
But Duffy was involved in three of our four tries again. One try, two assists. You've mentioned it, Rob, 249 metres. But statistically, and here's where statistics lie, damn lies and statistics, zero errors. Because he didn't get to that ball, so he didn't drop it.
Oh, right. There you go. So are you saying if Duffy is felled in a forest and there's no one there, did Duffy actually fall to the ground?
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Excellent. Carries, why we're ahead on 53%. Post-contact metres, though, Huddersfield won with 53.9%. Runs from dummy half, Walker 67%, Huddersfield only 33%. Tackles, Warrington made slightly more tackles, 52%. But the big one was play of the ball in the opposition 20. Warrington had 76% of the play of the balls in the opposition 20. So that was a big one. Conclusion, a win's a win. Fair enough. Is that about it?
Solid.
Huh. Okay.
It was all right. I mean, I'm positive. I think on balance, when you look at some of the other games around the thing, which I'm sure you'll go through quite shortly, there was a few surprises. And like I say, that first game of the season, I think it's very equally balanced. So, you know, without doing anything special, stick to the game plan, get your defence right and win the game.
I don't want to lose too many listeners here, but and maybe this is a contrast to living on the other side of the world, but what in the right mind sends you to Huddersfield on a Sunday, Sam? You not got something better to do? You not stay at home with Mrs. Lovely Sankey, or, you know, take her out for a nice lunch, or go to an art gallery, or see what's on in the local area, possibly a walk, a hobby, but God, it looks depressing. It looks like the apocalypse when you send those pictures through. Does the sun ever shine?
It's not been for a while, actually. It's a bit worrying.
It was freezing cold. It was grey. It was misty. They were taking the gasworks down, so there was bits of rubbish everywhere.
Jesus.
It was like something out of a Lowry painting going into the match. God. That's what it was called, wasn't it? Going to the match.
Anyway, now, in the intro, of course, I mentioned our American Wire Wolf from London who didn't play. So that brings me on to this week's quiz.
Oh, we are having a quiz.
We're having a quiz. It's American Werewolf in London related. Does go off in a bit of a tangent, I've noticed, as I go down through the questions.
I know where the tangent's going. What's her name? What's her name?
She might be in it later. She might be in it later.
Rob used to wank over.
Cut that. Right, question one. Now, this is multiple choice. Now, I'm pretty sure Dennis will know the answer to question one, so don't shout out, Dennis. We'll go to Sam first.
Okay,
question one. The pub in an American Werewolf in London is called A...
Slaughtered Lamb.
B, Resilience Tavern. C, Full Moon Inn. D, The Slaughtered Lamb, or E, Dave Lee Travis's Karaoke Bar.
So you're going Travis's Karaoke Bar.
It's going for Sam's. Sam's gone for D. Oh, he's gone for David. Dennis?
Ridiculous. It's The Slaughtered Lamb.
It's The Slaughtered Lamb. Okay. I'll give you a point for both of that. All right. Now, this is a trick. I think Sam might get this, Dennis. I think he's probably got the edge on you on this question. Staying with The Slaughtered Lamb, alternating your answers, can you name me a list of pubs in Warrington with an animal in their name? And can I just point out, birds are animals. They fall under the category of vertebrates. So it's a point for each, but I'll also give you 10 bonus points if you can name the pub with lamb in the title as well. All right. Sam, there is, according to my research, with a Warrington postcode, WA, 24 pubs with animals in the title. Sam first. What have you got? I just shout them out if you want, pair of you.
The Red Lion.
The Red Lion, let me have a look. Now, which, yes, where is
Stockton
that?
Stockton Heath.
Stockton Heath, point to Sam. Yeah, excellent.
Is the one called the White Lion right in the middle of town?
There isn't.
No,
there
did it wrong.
There isn't.
The
do you
white
want to get
heart.
Now, can I just say that there are another one, two, three. There are another four pubs with the Red Lion in the title. If you can name where any of them are, I'll give you a point.
St. Helens.
No. Got anything, Dennis? Nothing at all.
Witness.
There's Red Lion Penketh, the Red Lion Hotel in Lowton, the Red Lion Inn in Moore, and Ye Old Red Lion in Rixton. So, no points there, boys. Okay. No points there. What else have we got? Anything else?
Oh, we're
it's
still
the,
well,
the White Hart. Fucking are you giving him the White Hart?
No.
As in
where's
the
animal in that? There's no animal in
it's
White
a stag.
Hart.
Heart. Yeah. It's not heart as in your heart. Heart as in a stag. Anyway.
Jesus.
Oh, come on.
Yes. I'll give you one.
Yes. Yes.
The Hare and Hounds.
The Hare. Do you know where it is?
It's on the edge of Altrincham.
It's in Lowton. You're right. So it's 2-0. 2-0 to Sam. Come on, Dennis.
The black bull.
The black. Ooh. No. No. There's no bulls. Oh. There is a bull's.
There is a bull's head.
There's a bull's head.
That's the one I was thinking of.
There's a bull's head.
I said bull.
Bull's head in Church Street, Warrington.
Yeah.
As well.
Yeah,
another point. That's four. Four. I just think you're going up. You're going out of Warrington.
Spread Eagle.
Oh. Yeah.
I don't think that's even on my list. It's not even on
the
list.
Is this an AI one?
No. Now, right. You're going through Paddington. What's in Paddington?
Oh, it's Partridge.
Partridge in a pear tree.
The Dog and Partridge. Is that what you're looking for, Dennis? Yes. Dog and Partridge. Yeah. Giving point for Dennis there. Excellent. Now, going up through Stockton Heath.
Yeah.
Gone through Stockton Heath.
Fox.
We're going.
You've got a
Stretton
fox. At the top of the
Stretton
hill.
Fox. Yeah, you've missed one, Sam, as you're going up on the right.
Cat and Lion.
Yeah, this is more like it, boys. This is more like it. Now, Tanner's Lane. What's in Tanner's? There's three things in Tanner's
There's
Lane.
There's three pigeons.
The three in pigeons in Tanner's. This is excellent. Now, this is really coming to life. Now, oh, this is one I've not heard of. Something and a Spaceman in Church Street, Warrington.
It's in the new stuff, is it? I guess, is it? I don't know.
And the Spaceman in Church Street, Warrington.
What a pathetic name.
What's this? The Queen's Wolves in Orford Lane, Warrington. Never even heard of that one.
No.
Is this a new one, Sam? There's one in Palmyra Square. That... A bird in Palmyra Square. Come on, you know this one, Sam.
A bird?
There's a bird in Palmyra Square.
Yeah.
Not spelt the way that it should be spelt, but there is a bird. Cuckoo. Cuckoo.
Oh, yes. That's a new bar, isn't it? Yeah. It's not really a pub. Fair enough. But it's not a pub.
One in Grapnell. Grapnell Village. Yes. Any takers there?
Just down from the Power Arms.
Is the...
I'm giving him a chance.
Just
I have no idea. I've fucking no idea.
He's
Jesus.
Never been south of the river, has he, for a drink? Ever?
No.
Ever? Jesus.
Is the lamb one a bit of a trick question?
No. Right, I'll run through them because you're fucking useless.
It's not the golden fleece. That's what I was asking, whether it was a trick question.
We have. The Dog and Partridge, Paddington. The Partridge, Stretton. Stretton Fox, Stretton. Cat and Lion, Stretton. Three Pigeons, Tanner's Lane. Eagle and Spaceman, Church Street. The Bull's Head Inn, Church Street. The Queen's Wolves, Orford Lane, Cuckoo, Palmyra Square, the Ramshead Grapnell, the Ramshead Lowton, the Red Lion Stockton Heath, Red Lion Penketh, Red Lion Hotel Lowton, the Red Lion in Moore, Ye Old Red Lion Rixton, the Peacock in Birchwood, The Black Swan in Rixton. Hare and Hounds Lowton. Horseshoe in Croft. The Packhorse Culturth. The Raven Inn at Glasbury. And the Stag at Walton. And of course, the one that you were going to get the 10 points for was Secrets.
Go on.
Oh, no, sorry. That's a nightclub full of mutton dressed as lamb. Sorry. I can't remember.
Very good. Here we go.
In An American Werewolf in London, actor Brian Glover was cast playing Chess in The Slaughtered Lamb. He would also star in the film Kez as a PE teacher. Why have you got your head in your hands, Dennis?
Because I was trying to remember what colour he was playing chess with. I thought that was going to be the question.
Right. In that film, Glover dressed in a football kit. Can you name me the football kit? And also, what famous footballer Glover decides to impersonate?
Was it Arsenal?
Sam?
I don't know. So I'm going to say Brazil and Pelé.
Footballer, Dennis?
Oh, Alan Sunderland.
Alan Sunderland. He's not going to fucking...
I'll be Arsenal and I'll play as Alan Sunderland.
No. It was Manchester United, Bobby Charlton. So there you go.
All right.
Comedian Rick Mayall is also seen playing chess in The Slaughtered Lamb. He would go on to star as the self-proclaimed anarchist Rick in The Young Ones. However, when it comes to The Young Ones, can you tell me the youngest player ever to play for Warrington? And I'll give you a little clue. Later, his son too would make a youthful appearance for Wigan. However, his son would be 294 days older when making his debut for the Pieters.
Ooh.
Ooh. Oh, dear. It was Jackie Edwards. He was 16 years and 89 days.
Really?
His son, Sean Edwards, turned out for Wigan at 17 years and 20 days.
Yes, of course.
Which BBC presenter famously dressed up as a werewolf during a Halloween-themed episode of Top of the Pops in 1978? Was it A,
Dave Lee Travis,
Noel Edmonds, B, John Peel, C, Dave Lee Travis, or D, Claire Balding?
John Peel. I'm going for a change.
It was Claire Balding. It was Claire Balding. So, no, it was Dave Lee Travis. Okay. Wolfie might not quite be a werewolf, but he is a wolf. How many subspecies of wolves are there?
It's a dog counted as a wolf, then.
Is what?
Is a dog counted as a wolf?
Ooh, good. I haven't got the list of them here. I haven't got the list of them here, but I know how many there are.
Then it says four. I'm going to say higher, five.
40. There's 40 types of wolves. Okay. And the final question.
Hey!
Sorry. It's hard to beat the scene in American Werewolf in London when Nurse Alex,
here it is,
played by the beautiful Jenny Agutter, takes a shower. Now, unfortunately, I cannot find what year Warrington switched from collective players' baths to individual showers, but I have got a list of clubs that I know the answer to. So we're going to play higher and lower. If you get it right, you retain the board. Okay? All right. So we'll start. I want you to tell me, first of all, what year did Manchester United change from baths to showers? Dennis.
1982.
Later than that, 1988.
Oh. Dennis takes it with 1982. It was 1968.
Wow.
Good grief.
So, Dennis, you have the board. So, remember in 1968, higher or lower, Liverpool?
When you say higher, do you mean nearer to this year?
No, higher or lower than 1968. United were 1968. Higher. Dennis retains the board. It was 1972. Based on 1972, higher or lower, Tottenham Hotspur?
Lower.
Sam is in control of the board. It was 1975. Okay. Sam, higher or lower, 1975. The Roman baths in Bath. When did they transfer over from baths to showers?
This would be a trick, but I'm guessing they haven't done yet. That's higher.
No, it's lower. Dennis gets the board. They did change over in 1410 AD. So there you go. Now,
good to know.
Based on 1410 AD, higher or lower, Everton.
Lower.
Lower? No, Sam's got the board again. Everton was 1976. So, higher and lower, Sam, than 1976. Arsenal.
Higher.
Lower. Dennis, you're back in control. It was 1965.
Okay. Have you made this up or is this AI?
I fucking researched all this.
I fucking researched it. Oh, Jesus. That's a day's work.
Higher or lower than 1965, Dennis? Buckingham Palace.
From baths to showers?
Yep. Yep. When did they install the first shower in Buckingham Palace?
Oh, that would have been in the Victoria. 1822.
Just want to lower or higher or lower? That's just, the game's not lower. Changed, Dennis. The game's not
lower.
Changed. Lower. Lower, correct. 1959.
Oh, okay.
Higher or lower? Alan London.
He refuses to.
So you're going higher?
Yes.
Yeah. He actually transferred over in 1981 to a shower.
Oh.
So there you go.
That's a surprise. Dennis, did he work out the how much cost per like cubic centimeter of water was used during baths and showers? I presume he's got all that worked out.
How many minutes do you need to shower to use the same amount of water as an average bath? That was one of my questions later on, Dennis. You've picked up on that. We'll come on to that
later.
Did
you ask your dad?
Yeah. Okay. So you've still got retained the board. You've retained the board.
Higher.
1981. Yeah, you're correct. Wimbledon tennis. Higher or lower than 1981? Just think of Navratilova with the soap.
Lower.
Jesus.
She wouldn't be in a bath.
It is lower. It was 1975.
How long is this going on for?
We're nearly there. Fucking shut up. Jesus. We're nearly there. Jesus. Took 2 days to put this together. The US Open tennis, higher or lower than 1975? I think that was
higher. Higher.
It was 1978.
Yeah.
Imagine Pam Shriver just leathered up.
This is all from Jenny Agutter, isn't it?
Yes.
This is it.
Higher or lower than 1978, St. Helens.
That's going to be higher.
No. 1972. They went from okay. The Chicago Bulls, Sam. Higher or lower than 1972?
Higher.
1980. You're nearly there. You've nearly won this, Sam. You've nearly won it. A few more to go.
Dennis has done all the work.
Higher than lower than 1980, Wigan.
Higher.
1970. Dennis retains the book, gets the board back. Here's one for you, Dennis. Sure. I put this one in
special. Hang on. Whoa. I've seen photos of the Sean Edwards team all in a
dirty bath. Dirty bastard. What are you researching to see photos of Sean Edwards in a bath?
Bloody hell, Sam.
Maybe it was away.
Yeah.
Higher or lower than 1970, Dennis? The Vancouver Canucks. Or Canucks.
Canucks.
I think lower. Oh, sorry, higher.
Oh, we're going to accept that, Sammy. Correct.
Yeah, 19... They'd like to bathe together.
1976. BBC Radio 1.
Yeah, because they're famous for having communal
Chris
baths,
Hill.
Aren't
Chris
they,
Hill
BBC?
Went in. Broadcasting House had a bit of a plumbing issue. It was changed. What year?
God. What year was...
I'll give you a clue. I'll give you a clue. Dave Lee Travis missed out by a year having a shower at the BBC. He was suspended 12 months before the showers went in.
Funny enough, it wasn't really Dave Lee Travis I was worried about, but anyway. Higher.
Higher it was. It was higher. It was higher. It was 1996.
Right.
Okay, you've got, you've retained the board, Dennis. You've got two to go. Emirates Airlines.
Higher. Higher
up. It is 2008. Yeah. But did you know that Japan Airlines, JAL, introduced bathtubs to first class in 1974, but following turbulence issues, they took them out in 76.
Christ.
Apparently, Japanese businessmen valued having a good soak when at altitude, according to their website. So, all right, higher or lower than higher or lower than 2008 to win this, Dennis, the final one. Barnet Elizabethans Rugby Union Club.
Well, lower, because they don't exist anymore.
They've still got them. They're still there. Oh. They're still bathing. All those little public school boys are all bathing together still.
Championi, champion. See, that's the way you play it, a conservative way to play it there, Dennis.
Well done, Sam. Result to Sam. Just moving on, because you did ask about the shower question. How many minutes do you think you do have to shower for to have an average amount of water as a bath?
9.
Ooh. Oh, I think it's longer. 15.
17 and a half.
Apparently. Wow.
17 and a half. A shower uses 9 to 12 litres per minute, and you need 45 to 60 litres of water.
London's seniors' contribution to the podcast?
Yeah. 5-minute shower typically uses 45 to 60 litres of water. A bath uses 150 to 200 litres. So there you go. All right. Now, we did mention this last week. We got onto Red Bull, didn't we? And I think Sam bought up Bachelor's Mushy Peas.
Yes.
So can you tell me how much it would cost? Because Dennis... He was right. £1.50 for a can of Red Bull.
Hang on, whoa! Isn't this an American Werewolf in London quiz?
Yeah, I said it went off tangent a bit. Once we got to Jenny Agutter, it kind of. How much would it cost?
Anyone still listening?
How much would it cost to fill up a bath using Red Bull? What do you reckon, Dennis?
Oh,
£283.
Oh. Right.
How many litres do you say a bath was? Again, 150 litres.
I've worked the bath out on an average of 175 litres.
175.
Yeah. I was just going to get
this is the 330 cans.
You're both a long way off on your cans. A can of Red Bull is only 250 mil.
Oh. Oh, well. 660.
Well, it would cost you £1,050 to fill up.
That's about 600 times 1.
700 cans. 700 cans it would take, Sam. Yeah. Okay, but...
660, yeah.
For a bonus point, Bachelor's Mushy Peas, how much would it take? What would you need to spend down at Lidl on that shitty side of the bridge for Bachelor's Mushy Peas?
I don't know how much they are, about 75p each. About 500 quid.
Oh, spot on! Absolutely spot on. 280 millilitres in a Bachelor's Mushy can. They cost 80 pence each. You need 625 cans. So there you go. And finally, the last question. How many men have admitted to urinating in the bath in comparison to urinating in the shower in the UK?
What, do we know what the shower is?
Well, all right, I'll give you the shower. 20% of men urinate in the shower, apparently, admit. What do you reckon?
So it's going to be lower than that.
I'd say lower,
5%.
No. 17%.
So it's the same ones, then. Same people, more or less.
Right, that's it. What's next?
Oh, thank fuck for that.
When's Ralph coming on?
And now, round one of Super League, results read by Luke Littler.
Wigan, 0. Lee, 1. Catalans, 4. Hull, 24. Hull KR, 19. Castleford, 18. Leeds, 12. Wakefield, 14. And St Helens, 82. Salford, 0.
Well, there you have it. There you have it, boys. Wigan 0, Lee 1.
Mm.
Did you watch it?
I watched the second half. It was good. It was quite good to watch. Yeah.
Well, better standard than Huddersfield and Warrington? Better standard?
Yeah. Yeah. I thought they looked big and strong.
It had more of an event feel, didn't it, Dennis? Probably because it was a full stadium, I guess, as well. That helped.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, it was just they look really big and strong. I see what people mean when they mentioned about did we play Lee in the mid beginning of the season?
Mm. So, yeah.
Malamini, I think a couple of people commented and said they look quite big and strong. So that came across. It was a good match, but again, it was like could they keep that up for the full season? There was everybody was paired off apart from Leeds and obviously the Salford debacle. Leeds is shit. They're absolute shite. He's going to be the first coach to go.
Oh, we're having a bet on that. First coach to go. What's his name? Can't remember his name now. Was it Parramatta, wasn't he, for like 400 years?
Yeah. Oh, they're awful. Absolutely awful. Yeah, so they're fucked.
I switched the Wigan league. I had to go out. I switched it off. But all I saw was Leon Moore make two refereeing decisions that were wrong. So first of all, there was a jump for a high ball and he was about 12 inches off the ground and he didn't give it. I'm like, I'll just wind that back just to make sure I'm wrong. Oh, no, he's 12 inches in the air. And then to balance it out, Charnley was coming off his own line. Clearly, he was still trying to move forward and they pushed him back into the behind the try line and he said that he'd called held.
Just, yeah, just, oh, I know what you mean.
I was like, right, I'm done. I'm finished. Mm. That's it.
Sam, could you explain what Paul Rowley was talking about with the Salford debacle and the RFL?
Yes, excellent.
Because he was talking and I felt like he was like, you know, oh, he was quite articulate, this fella, but I had no idea what was going on. Could you just sort of briefly give us a summary?
The fear of having litigation made against me.
Oh, it's all right. Rob, it's against Rob.
Against Rob. Oh, well, that's fine then. In that case, I think he was talking bollocks.
It
was a case that, as far as I understood it, he was saying, if I can't pick my full squad, then why should I bother picking any of them?
Yeah.
That was the gist of it. If you're going to tell me I can only pick from half of them, then I'm choosing to pick this half of youngsters.
Yeah, right, okay. So it was his fault, really.
Interestingly, today, the rugby league, although they're usually toothless and usually fudge this type of a problem, they have announced they're going to consider whether that's brought the game into disrepute.
Can you use the word fudge anymore? Can you just check the What Bevan PC dictionary, please, Dennis?
Well, if you can't, I'm not sure why you couldn't. So I'm saying it out of all innocence there.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, don't go to that pub with the spaceman in it. So basically what we're saying is that it's really Salford's issue and he spat his dummy out and that was basically it, was it, really?
Yes.
So do you think this should be brought into disrepute then, Sam? I'm trying to sort of lead you here.
Again, my perception...
Are you fudging towards it?
I think that's my get-out clause. My perception
is
the rules are there. They didn't comply by the rules. Therefore, it's their own fault that they didn't get the funding. It's their own fault. Mm. No matter if you feel unfortunate for them, it's their own fault. Therefore, yeah, I think they are.
I have to say, you're now starting to sound like Paul Rowley.
Oh, yes or no, Sankey. Yes or no.
Yeah,
come on.
Picking a deliberate weakened team is bringing the game into disrepute. But we've done it years ago. A week before Wembley, don't everybody rest a load of players?
Not normally on
the
first day of the
season. Is that bringing
the
game into disrepute? You know,
Right, okay. How fucking ugly are people from Wigan and Lee? Jesus. I tell you what, they are...
Rob. My perception is that people from Wigan and Lee are quite ugly.
They're ugly. And they've obviously interbred for generation after generation. I think there's a massive sponsorship deal any day now for Ozempic put a Zempic on the front of a Lee or Wigan shirt, and you're away,
aren't you?
It's that, you know, that the pen, it was used for diabetes, but now they use it to lose weight. Just fucking...
Before that, Luke Littlest News Round.
Warrington are set to undertake a wish list of improvements at the Halliwell Jones Stadium. The club's directors are to invest an additional £400,000. £125,000 will be spent to house a new LED screen in the southeast corner. A permanent stage will also be erected below the screen to accommodate live music and DJs. At the turnstiles, new scanners will be installed so you can scan admittance via your smartphone. And staying with your phone, a Warrington Wolves app is currently being developed. Fans can also expect new food and drink offerings. Plus, the stadium will receive a new lick of paint and the steelworks will have a jolly good going over with a wire brush. Director Stuart Middleton said, a major focus is to increase the use of the stadium on non-match days. It is clearly massively underutilised. This is an opportunity to grow revenue and reduce our financial shortfall.
Mm. Ooh, shortfall, mm. Sam. Where's that come from?
Well, before we talk about a potential financial shortfall, which all clubs are struggling.
You want to talk about the wire brush, don't you? You want to talk about the wire brush.
I want to talk about the wire brush. I want to just talk about the people who, year after year, are putting money into our club. Because we have a moan about the team. We say, why aren't we winning? We have a bit of a moan about Fitz when he's doing, what's your phrase, Rob? All sizzle and no sausage.
No.
Is it? Mm. Yeah. And we do have a moan about them. And we're quite right. And we're quite right to have a moan on the individual things we're talking about. But I think we need to just take a moment to acknowledge that Simon, Stuart, and Mike Lomax, those guys do put their money in to our club. And the only reason we're arguing about whether we should be winning it rather than coming second or third is because they put a lot of money into the club over the last 10, 15, 20 years. So just as a one-off, I don't want to have a go at them. I want to say fair dues. £400,000 coming out of their own pockets, that.
Mm. It's good, isn't it? Dennis, why do you use a wire brush? What's the point of it? Like, what are you doing? When you're welding, why are you using the wire brush first?
What you're trying to do is you're trying to remove the impurities from the surface so that you've got a nice, cleaner sort of connection seal between you.
Really?
Yeah.
So it's always imperative that you do wire brush before you weld two pieces of steel together.
Not really. No, not with modern day technology and the heat that you can generate in a welding nozzle. I wouldn't worry about it. But listen, funnily enough, they've listened to Tackle Bag's idea number 141 with the app idea. And I've got another Tackle Bag's idea that's just gone in the bank based on some of that information. So listen out for the next couple of weeks for Tackle Bag's
number
233, which will be about that subject.
Player movement now, and winger Jake Thulis and centre Zach Barsley-Rowe have travelled to the capital on a two-week loan deal with the London Broncos. Also, young rugby union convert Alfie Johnson will cameo on the wing for Widnes over the next fortnight. May as well send them out. Now, talking of movements,
I want to come on to our health section.
You may have received a text from me. I've had a very few stressful weeks. So for 3 weeks, I was on edge. My movements haven't been good down there. Just haven't been working right. Urination's been poor, haven't been able to hold a steady stream, really forcing it out. And then it's actually my dad who's actually got prostate cancer. He's 92. And he was like, have you had a check recently? And I thought, I should really go. So I went 3 weeks ago and the news was not good. He shook his head at me.
sent me for tests. Then he had to go back for more tests, and it wasn't good. Anyway, he was going on a skiing trip. He said, these final tests will show it, but the signs aren't good, Mr. London. And I'm going on a skiing trip, but I'll try and ring you before I go. He rang me from the airport to tell me I had the all clear, I was fine. The x-rays had shown that the only thing they could put down my distinct lack of urination to was a battered sphincter. And I blame the Japanese. And what's happened is, I went to Tokyo last June and got pretty much addicted to that jet up my arse. So when we came home, I've bought a high-powered jet, which fits on the toilet and it does me bits. What I hadn't read was the terms and conditions. It says use for no more than 30 seconds. I've read two chapters as a book without basting up my anus. So I've got a... Didn't even know the sphincter had anything to do with your bladder, but apparently it does. If you tickle it, things happen. So I've got a battered sphincter. I'm not allowed to touch it for 6 weeks. I've got to just bathe my arse in the sink and So if there's anyone out there who's just worried that they're not urinating properly or they notice that their stools have changed, go and get a check.
Stop sticking stuff up your ass.
And stop ramming jets up your ass or fudges.
Yeah.
So in a well-written article on Sam...
Thanks to Dr. Hillary there.
It's a tough segue.
In a well-written article on Sam Burgess by Donald McRae in the UK National Broadsheet, The Guardian, Burgess reflected on his journey through life and coaching, admitting he initially doubled whether he was up to the job at Warrington as head coach.
Yeah, you might as well forget this. Nothing matters now.
I'll carry on for the listener. He doubted whether he was up to the job as Warrington head coach. Burgess opened up about his personal struggles, which resulted in him entering rehab. He spoke about the freedom of normal life he can lead in the UK compared to the intense media spotlight in Australia. He went on to discuss balancing player relationships, his admiration for his coaches, and the tactics of rugby union. The interview concluded with Burgess declaring how much he misses his children back in Oz and wishes at some point he could return to Australia to coach in the NRL. But he actually also mentioned that when he goes out in limb,
stop him.
It's a lovely, pleasant conversation. I think he was talking about me.
Do you actually stop him and have a conversation, or do you just nod to him, Sam? What do you do when you see
him? I nod to him and say good morning, and he says good morning back.
Really?
On three occasions, yes.
Wow.
He doesn't know who he is yet.
Doesn't know who he is yet, does he? That's the thing.
No, I daren't let him know in case he smacks me one.
But you've never said anything bad about them.
I mean, if it was Roderick Tyve, you saw Roderick Tyve in a cup of coffee in Stockton-Heath, I'd keep well clear, but Sam Burgess, you're fine. Finally, the draw for the last 16 of this year's Challenge Cup has taken place. Warrington fans can look forward to a classic, nostalgia-filled showdown as Wyatt make the short trip over the Runcorn Bridge for a derby clash against Widnes. The remaining fixtures see Salford versus Bradford, Saints versus Leeds, Hull KR versus Oldham, Lee versus Batley, Catalans versus Featherstone, Huddersfield versus Wakefield, and Wigan versus Hull.
I just make the point that only those of us who live south of the river need to bother going over the Runcorn Bridge to Widnes.
Oh, yes, that's interesting, isn't it? That's interesting, yeah. The final will be held at Wembley on Saturday the 7th of June. In the last decade, seven teams have made it to Wembley. Saints have been the most consistent team, making five finals and winning three. Warrington and Wigan have both appeared in four finals, winning two each. Hull, with back-to-back wins in 2016 and 2017. Leeds also had consecutive victories in 2014 and 2015, but lost in 2020. Catalans made history as the first non-English team to win in 2018. And Huddersfield haven't won, but they were runners-up in 2022. There you go. It looks a bit... I thought, OK, well, only seven teams have made the final. Then I checked how many teams have made the FA Cup final in the same period of time. There's only nine teams made the FA Cup final. So it's not that far off.
I think, and for me, when when I was really getting hooked onto rugby league, the real dominant Wigan team, did they win 8 or 9 finals in a row? And to see what's happened over the last maybe 15 years, maybe since we went and won that year against Huddersfield, there has been a good variance of finalists, hasn't there? There's been a, I know you say 7, but different winners is very good overall. Pity it's not quite the same with the actual Super League itself.
Well, you know what? It's not that much different. Since 1996, there have been 4 winners of Super League. Saints, Wigan, Leeds and Bradford. How many teams do you think have won the Premiership since 1995-96 season?
6.
Yep. United, Arsenal, Chelsea, City, Leicester City and Liverpool.
I recently wrote an article for a Liverpool blog which was all about choosing one player to clone in a hypothetical situation where you had to pick an entire team of that individual 11 times over. This got me thinking about who I'd choose from a wire perspective. Which player would you name a team of? Which player could fill in pretty much everywhere on the pitch? You need someone who is versatile, who would have enough size to make an impact in the forward positions, and enough skill and pace to contribute in the backs. Stefan Ratchford is perhaps the obvious answer, having already played in pretty much every position at some point through his Warrington career. Having said that, I'm not sure the 2025 iteration of Ratchford is mobile enough. Matt Duffy could probably do a job anywhere from 1 to 7 and has the hands for a 9 or 13, and he's known for making good yardage on the fifth tackle, so perhaps could do better than his size might suggest in a forward position. The likes of Toby King and Ben Curry have played in both the backs and the forwards at different points in their career, but again, I wouldn't necessarily fancy them in any of the pivot positions. There's George Williams, who is remarkably strong for a halfback. I actually think the best player for this scenario might be Sam Powell. Versatile enough that he's played at 6, 7 and 9 in his career, and he has a good rugby brain too. He perhaps lacks a bit of pace, but has enough handling skills for the back line, and is known for being a tough tackler, so could potentially manage in the forwards too. In terms of former players, the likes of Michael Monaghan, Simon Griggs, Blake Austin and Nathan Wood were all known for filling gaps in multiple positions. That I'm in love with you.
Daniel there, cloning a player. He's gone for Sam Powell. 13 Sam Powells. Lacking a bit of pace, I think.
I think so.
No, I'm just saying, I thought, congratulations to Daniel on this one. I thought it was a good thought sort of puzzle to think about. Yeah. You know what I mean? I was thinking, oh yeah, this is a really good thing to sort of digest.
I mean, he's pulling these out of his arse as well, because I mean, we're up to episode 151. He's been doing these for, so to think of a new one.
But clearly there's only 2 possible answers. It's either Stefan Ratchford or Ben Curry, surely.
Jesus.
Well, I thought, actually, Danny Walker, because I thought, actually, he's got a kicking game on top of whatever Sam Powell's got. Clearly demonstrated against Huddersfield as well, Sam, that 20-40.
20-40.
Yeah, don't often see a 20-40.
I think that's the first one I've ever actually seen. I think that's the first one I've ever seen, Dennis.
I thought his best one was possibly Joel Monaghan? Thought that was I thought about it and I thought, you know, I'd quite like to see 13 Les Boyds on the field. Just to see how many would stay on the pitch. But I don't know about modern day team, but I think the perfect athlete to play in all 13 positions, you need size, aggression, speed. I've gone with John Bevan. I think John Bevan.
Oh, right.
Okay. Would make a great clone. Mm-hmm.
Oh, Samuel, I'm so excited. We're now ready to record our first track here at Simon Moran's Fletcher Street Studios. Oh, I've not been this elated to listen to our new music tune since I spent all my pocket money at Dawson's, you know, to buy Shawaddy Waddy's greatest hits.
I never knew you were a teddy boy loafer.
Oh, absolutely, Samuel. Oh, back in my youth, I had the most admired sideburns this side of the Pennines. Oh, and as for my hair, I used more Brill cream than Henderson Gill used on his legs.
Excuse me, my dears. If you could just be quiet, please. We are about to record.
Samuel, I don't see any instruments.
No, Ralphie. Young Matt Dufty is going to perform a cappella.
Oh, I'm not sure he should be having that much of a nasal. Do you really think that's a good idea?
Hindsight's a wonderful thing, isn't it?
In your own time, Matthew. Yes, come on, dear. In your own time. That's right.
We will wash it, we will wash it. Bring the bucket and mop, mop, mop. We will dust it, we will brush it. We will polish it, top, top, top.
You little shit.
Oh, tackle socks.
Don't worry, Ralphie. We'll make it a B-side.
Not even Warrington Hospital Radio and veteran DJ Dave Birch will be up for playing this.
We could always play it through the Halliwell Jones PA system, Ralphie. It'll mask any old shot.
Oh, what an excellent idea, Samuel. It does seem that IMJ couldn't give a monkey's whether there's a decent music being played at the Super League grounds.
Yeah, I know. Just as long as the worn-out gantry measures up to a perfectly sized entertainment box.
Sorry, Samuel. Are we still talking about the IMJ points rating system? Or my wigway in Thailand? Now, quickly, Samuel, pass me those earmuffs. If I'm subjected to this stint any longer, I'll have cauliflower ears bigger than Alan Bateman's.
That's a wrap. Why do I bother working with these fuckwits?
Got a couple of things here. Firstly, it brought back memories of Bagpuss. They were nice, warm, fuzzy memories there. And for anyone under the age of 40, no one will know that Emily actually loved him.
No, oh, Professor Broomhead, wasn't it? Oh no, Professor Yaffle.
Yaffle. Yeah. But I've got a question. Is Madame Boyd on the change or something? She seems very grumpy.
Whoa. Check. He's already said fudge. Now he's saying someone's on the change. Check that. Yeah. Check that, Dennis.
Jesus. She's going through the menopause. She's very, very, very...
Oh, God.
Very careful here. Jesus.
Goodness.
We've just lost our only female listener, I think.
Mrs. Sankey was very grumpy for a while, and then she got some patches. She was like a new woman. She was like the woman. She became like the woman I fell in love with.
What do the patches do?
They slowly release some drug or other.
I've got a very young Mrs. London. I was watching something on the telly the other day. Can't think what I was watching. Oh, that was it. Below Deck Sailing Yacht. I was watching.
Oh God.
And we've gone back to season two because we've just finished season five. So we went back to that, and there's this 6'7" American deckhand, and he's nobbing one of the Brazilian chicks who works, you know, in the catering section.
You get me talking about the change, and you
nobbing's a technical word. Nobbing's a technical word on a yacht.
Chick. Yeah,
starboard nobbing. It's fine. It's nobbing is a term for pulling back the hoist. when it's sale. Jesus. Come on, Sam. Get your mind out the gutter. Anyway, she's 34. No, she's 38 or something, and he's 24. Something like that. And I went, the dirty bastard. And then Mrs. London said, that's our age gap as well. It's like, oh, is it? Okay, right, fair enough. Fair enough. although we do very little knobbing. I'm lucky to get my anchor down these days, if I'm honest. So.
With an ass like that.
That's what happens with a battered sphincter.
What's that word? What was that word, Sam? Try it again. Try and say Josh Thewlis has a battered sphincter.
Join him on a shadowy flight into the dangerous world of blogging in the M62. Dennis Waywell is on a mission to keep rugby league alive. In a world of campervans and reasonably priced tarpaulins. In northern towns where kids have blue drinks for their tea. Introducing tackle bags. No wait, tackle blogs. No hang on, tackle books. No, that's wrong too. Besides, let's face it, who cares? No one listens to this shit. Anyway, welcome to Dennis's Tackle Sags.
Well, as we've seen, the first match, and everyone has been messaging me to see who's dropped the bollock this week. Yes, it's unbelievable, but basically after watching that match, there is no sags. Pretty much
excellent.
Level of consistency has revealed no sag-off performances.
Moving on to predictions then. Oh, no, sorry, carry on.
Well, it's probably a result of the harsh scoring system that I came up with on the Sagameter scoring system, and I don't think anybody was worthy of that. So, but I am going to introduce a SAG watch because players that are on the cusp of having a SAG ass, Ben, we need to make sure that we capture them. I've put Toby King on it because
When he came out the line at that point. Yeah, let's get him on SAG watch.
His testimonial, he kept missing tackle. Anyway, there isn't actually any scores. I think if we played well, there's no need to, put them in the sag.
Let's hope we play well every week.
Yeah. I have had a letter off one of the patrons, though, I'd just like to sort of touch on. This is off Greg Hippags, and he's actually only paying 50p, Rob. I'm only going to be reading the patron letters going forward. So if you do want to send one in, send it to the email address that Rob will say at the end somewhere. He's mentioned the tackle bags jingle. It needs rebranding, renewing for the section. So I think it's something I need to look at. He's also suggested a tackle bags idea. So basically, I'll just go over his idea. After watching the Whitehaven game, I was blessed with a tackle bags idea to improve the safety in rugby league. To reduce the impact speed of players, why not recreate the Whitehaven pitch specifications of deep mud?
No.
That's what we saw the other week, wasn't it? Yeah. Practically slowing down the players to almost a standstill would reduce the impacts, thus reduce injuries. That makes a fair point. In addition, instead of employing ground staff, you could release 20 pigs and 20 wild boar to maintain the pitch conditions at half time. I like this. He's obviously thought about it.
He's only paying 50p.
Yeah. And also, dressing the animals in club colours would add to the spectacle for any fans watching and spending time. He's put lipstick on a pig. Hold on. Slipping some pork in. We'll leave it there. Thanks, Greg, for your letter there. It was very salacious on that. I can see what has happened here. Greg Hippags. Yeah. It's an anagram. Yeah. Pig shagger.
Jesus Christ.
Predictions.
Good afternoon to you. Earlier on today, apparently, a woman rang the BBC and said she heard that there was a hurricane on the way. Well, if you're watching, don't worry, there isn't.
Predictions, sponsored by Luke Littler.
I'll predict Warrington, but can I do it with a caveat, please?
Time to predict Wires' first home game when they take on Catalans at the one-off Luke Littler Stadium this Friday night at 8 p.m. But before we take a look, is Hal willing to throw us his prediction?
No. I'm not giving my prediction. Why don't you go and ask your new floozy chat GPT? I'm moving out. I've had it up to here with you. And don't try and get in touch. I'm staying at Luke Littler's. Luke's told me I can do much better than you. Plus, every night I get a kebab and a fizzy blue drink for my tea. And by the way, I know perfectly well you've never liked my mother. I should have listened to her.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear.
Don't blame him. I really don't blame him. You've been, you're right. You've been over AI all
cavorting.
Summer.
Yeah, I know. Oh, well. Right, balances. Right, of course, we all had a bet last week, and we're going to continue to bet. First try scorer and the... who will win? We all went for Warrington. We all picked up, I think it was 3-10 on at kickoff. So my return was 65 pence. Dennis's return was £1.30 on his bet. Sam returned £13. But we all lost on the first try scorer, which unfortunately was Huddersfield. So the balances are, I'm on 140 pence. Dennis is on 130 pence. £100 and 30 pence. I'm struggling with that. And Mr. Sankey is on £108. So he's taken the lead. 8% return. Not bad, Sam. Mm. Not bad.
People do that every year on a property portfolio.
Yeah. So, first of all, Warrington or Catalans win, where are you putting your money?
Could I just say that you've shown the balance in dollars and the winnings in pounds.
Oh, sorry. I do apologise.
So,
do apologize.
Just I'm looking at the exchange rate. What should I be betting in?
Yeah, you should be in pounds. We're still in pounds. Sorry for that little misdemeanor. Sorry.
I'm going for a £5 Russell Warrington win.
Oh, for fuck's sake. So you're going £5 on Russell.
Yeah.
And how much are you having on the wire win?
£5.
£5 as well. Right. Okay. Sam.
Sky are showing us at 4-1 on to win.
Mm.
4-1 on, or on the handicap, a 12-point start for Catalans.
Forget the handicap.
And but they're not showing the odds of the try scorers. But now I've looked at the try scorers.
Mm-hmm.
Ashton last year scored 20% of our tries, so he's got a 1 in 5 chance of scoring.
Oh.
Dufty a 1 in 8 chance. Theuris a 1 in 11, and King a 1 in 12.
I didn't put any of this thought in.
I would like to go £8 on Warrington to win.
£8, yeah.
And £2 on Ashton to score first. To score Warrington's first, or
has to be the first try of the match.
All right. Well, Ashton £2, please.
£2, right. Okay. All right. I'm going to go 50p on Vaughan to score the first try.
Well, that'd be good odds.
Yeah, we got. I think he's normally about 33-1, so I'll go for that. And I'm going to go £30 on Warrington to win.
What would Brian Bevan say? Condones all types of gambling, prostitution, drug abuse, and people from witness. For more help, go to www.mind.org.uk.
Okay, that's it. We'll be back next week prior to Warrington's trip to Vegas. So until then, it's a poker-faced goodbye from Sam.
All the best.
A pontoon shit or bust farewell from Dennis.
Best seeing you.
and it's a revolving roulette wheel. So long from me. You've been listening to What Would Sid Waddell Say?
I need to go, lads. My sphincter's playing up. I need to go and bathe it again. Jesus!
Will tell.